The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bernie, you're back in the house. Ah, the family's back together. Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
Now, you don't look fresh this morning, though. I mean, really rough night, rough week, busy week. I mean, you know.
Busy week.
Yeah.
You know, didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
No, when you're the best AD in the state, that's what happens. Oh. Okay, I mean, when you're the greatest
I know we haven't seen each other for a while.
It has been a bit. So,
you know, it's nice to see you. It's nice to be up, but just stop.
Aaron, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You have a good week?
I did.
Done a great job with this show since you've been jumping on here. You had to fill big shoes as Dave Hunter stepped down to retire from this position. We miss Dave every day, but you've done a great job with the show, but I just wanted to make sure I publicly said that. Well done so far.
Thank you. Doing my best.
So far. Yeah, right. Listen, this is just like the NFL. You're good one week. You're terrible the next week. It's about you got to keep it up.
Well, what is the Giants?
But the good news is that you work with us, so, and I'm usually terrible every week. So 655-6672 is the number to call. 802-655-6672 if you want to join our conversation today. We have a lot to talk about. And remember, if you don't feel comfortable calling, and I get that. And today, nowadays, everybody wants to text. The kids are texting, Bernie. You can text us on a Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672 as well.
And I can't stand texting.
I know. You don't like anything that's like not 1985. By the way.
No. I don't like texting because
you never know what the sense is.
Right. The interpretation.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, the text.
By the way, based on you saying that, and I, this is perfect that this is not prepared. You actually just walked right into this. I'm glad you just brought that up that you don't like texting because I did not appreciate at all the passive aggressive nature of your text this week to me about the big game that's happening at 2 o'clock down at Cameron Indoor. As my Cavaliers, number 2 ranked team in the nation, are traveling to Durham to take on the Duke Blue Devils. I don't appreciate you giving me these passive aggressive text messages about how great Virginia is, how they're going to roll all over Duke.
Question.
I know exactly what you're doing.
Well,
I've known you way too long, so please just spare me that stuff. That's why I didn't
respond. Just a quick question.
Go ahead.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
What's Virginia's rank?
2.
What's Duke's rank?
4.
Okay. Virginia's better.
You stop. Listen, Virginia is a great, I'll tell you what, Virginia is a great basketball team, but Duke is an elite basketball team. They've got a couple more losses. So don't, come on. I mean, it's going to be some game, and if Virginia figures out how to do this, Virginia hasn't won in Duke since I was like 12 years old. I mean, it's been a long time since they beat one in Duke. They're due to win in Duke, but Duke is loaded. They're loaded. But this Virginia team is unbelievable, and they have the best coach in the country. Virginia has the best basketball coach in the country, bar none. Tony Bennett, do yourself a favor, folks. Jump on board this Cavalier train.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to the best show coach in the country later in the show.
Tonight. Oh, no. Of course. I mean, John Becker is, again, one of the greatest.
I mean.
No, he's great. Yeah, he's great.
You're falling off the ship already? I'm gone for a few weeks, and now
I think John Becker is one of the greatest coaches in the country as well. But what you see, what Virginia has done in the ACC, what Tony Bennett has been able to do at UVA, he gets more out of nothing than anybody else in the country. I'm just telling you. He's a great coach.
Well, defensively, this year they're the best team I've seen. It is ridiculous.
In terms of defense.
How good they are.
In terms of defense, they are. They really are. So if do yourself a favor, check this game. Who knows?
2 o'clock.
Who knows how that translates at Duke? Duke, honestly, personnel-wise, has probably the best personnel in the country. And they've got two of the biggest guys down low. These guys, it's going to be a tough matchup for the Cavs today.
And the funny thing is, and you know, everybody talks about how good the kid Bagley is.
Yeah.
Just remember, he's reclassified and should be a senior, in high school.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There's so much talent in this country. Nuts. But I think when you look at a team, and again, we'll get off this because I know there's more to talk about. You look at a team like Virginia, and you look at what they're doing with the none of those kids, for the exception of Kyle Guy, who is a 27th ranked player coming in. He's the only McDonald's All-American Virginia's had. But none of those kids are highly recruited. That tells you what kind of talent there is in the country in terms of basketball ability when you look at a team like that. Yeah,
no question. It's awesome, and it's going to be fun. And I just want to congratulate you beforehand.
First of all,
just
stop it, because this is completely out of your personality.
To be nice?
Yes, it's way out of your personality.
All right, thank you.
And I promise you this: that by between 2:30 and 3 o'clock during this afternoon,
you'll be up 10.
If Virginia is not leading this game, you are going to be texting me throughout this game, laughing at me and mocking me.
I wouldn't do that.
Let's move this. Just move this. Okay, so UVM's basketball team. Playing very good basketball. We actually have a call on the line right now. We have John in Underhill. John wants to talk some UVM hoops, and why not? You got the voice of UVM TV right here. What's going on this morning, buddy?
Hey, listen, Jeff, don't let Duke is going to stomp them out. They're not even in the same class. It's it's men against boys. But I want to talk about UVM hoops. Bernie, can the team weather this storm of injuries now that the Sultan of SWAT, Dingba, is out for a while? Can they weather this string of injuries and continue this pace and take it all the way through the American Heat?
Well, I think what they've done is amazing this year. Obviously, losing three rotation players. Obviously, you lose Lamb, you lose Dingba, and then Skylar Nash. Three players and just people stepping up and playing. Can they do it? Yeah, of course they can. I think it's going to be a challenge for the Cats. They have a tough three-game road trip coming up right now, excuse me, in terms of going to Binghamton, and then they got to go to UMBC in Albany. But again, there's a reality that they could lock this up pretty early in the season, and what they're doing for me this year is just one of the most amazing things that they've accomplished with how they're doing this. And Trey Bell Haynes is just so good. Ernie Duncan, Drew Urquhart, Peyton Henson, and go on and on and on. You know, guys coming off the bench, Cam Ward, just doing things and getting it done. And it just speaks to the depth and the quality of the program.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, Jan's gone? Okay, yeah. Thanks
Sorry,
for calling.
Jan.
Yeah, it wasn't Jan. It was Jan from Underhill.
Our boy Jan.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I think what you said is perfect, UVM. And I know you have to kind of be the one that says, they got a tough road trip. No team in this conference is going to beat them. They're going to go undefeated through this conference. I'm just telling you right now, and I'm going to say it. This is one of the best basketball teams that Vermont, if not the best basketball team, in my opinion, in terms of talent that Vermont's ever had. And they have so much depth. They have more depth than anybody else. And when they're not, and a perfect example, and I think the Albany game, I think that Albany matchup is always a rock fight. I mean, for whatever reason, Albany, it's not great watching basketball, but it's compelling basketball. I mean, and you were sitting courtside for that, Bernie. I mean, UVM at halftime is up 11 points, I believe. It looks like they're about to run away. Albany, with the grit and the way they can play at Patrick Gym, comes back. But regardless, I mean, Vermont's just better than everybody else in this conference, and I think the proof is in the pudding here. I mean, I really, honestly, Bernie, I just cannot imagine anybody in this conference beating this basketball team.
Well, I think especially at Patrick Gym, I think that's going to be a challenge, and that is why, Vermont needs to win the regular season to get that home court advantage.
Yep.
Because they play so well at home. But, on any given day, as we know, anybody can beat anybody. But Vermont is definitely the elite of the America East once again.
And I agree with you. Anybody can beat anybody, but you have to put together an insane game out of any of these programs that are in the America East to beat this basketball team. You just have to.
Yeah, the thing that impressed me the most about Vermont against Albany was, they held them to 50 points. And they didn't give up an offensive rebound until about the 12-minute mark of the second half, and that to me that
and what does that tell you? It tells you that the biggest question mark this basketball team had, say, 3 weeks ago, was what?
Was their depth on the interior
and their defense?
Correct.
I think any UVM fan's concern was the amount of points they were giving up. I think there was concern there that they're offensively, we know how gifted they were, but there was question marks in the defensive end. I thought at UM that the game with UMBC was that first step in the right direction in terms of them defensively, and I think what you're seeing now is a team that's really coming together.
Yeah, no question, and they're understanding and defining those roles and playing them to a T. Everett Duncan was just so good.
He's so good. That kid is. But again, both Duncan kids.
Right, but Everett.
Yeah.
double. Seven offensive rebounds, making clutch threes, just really good. But again, everything kind of got put into perspective the other night against Albany as. Just again, you got to give another shout out to the doctors and the emergency responders that took care of business, and it was a crazy night
and creepy a little bit because we know the situation happened to Coach Rice a couple years ago. I'll say this, and you just mentioned it. It was a scary situation. The good news is that I think everybody is okay. I think everybody is healthy that went through the situation. And again, you have to look at what they did at Patrick Gymnasium. We talk about how uncomfortable the gym is, but I'll tell you right now that the UVM system in there to take care of emergencies is spectacular. You've seen two lives saved.
Yep.
In like 2 years at Patrick Gym. So congratulations. Great job over there at UVM. That's just good stuff. What a show we have lined up today. Bernie and I, we're big Giants fans. We have a new coach. It's going to be like a whole new everything with New York. Pat Shurmur was announced yesterday. We're going to talk.
New special teams coach.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Everybody's going to be new everybody over there. But we're going to talk to our friend, senior editor for Inside Football and Giants Insider, Patricia Traynor. She's going to join us at 10:20. It's going to be interesting to talk a little bit about what we see with this football team, what she sees now. New coach, new GM, new everything, new outlook on Giants football, and a football team that I don't think is that far away from being competitive again, Bernie.
Minus the quarterback, in your opinion.
Well, your quarterback's going to be there. I mean, Shurmur said
I tell you, Jeff, I'm no GM, but if you're Cleveland, do you swap 2-4 with the Giants? And then you have to, because there's like that draft chart with total points and, that you have to do to make an even trade. You swap 2-4. Then you give the Giants the first pick of the second and third round, and the Giants give Cleveland their fifth round pick. Would you do that if you're Cleveland? Because now if you're Cleveland, you can get your quarterback, you can get your running back, and then the Giants still get what they want with a little more.
Yeah, it's a good trade.
For the Giants.
Yeah, it's a good trade for both. I mean, if Cleveland can get what they want, if Cleveland can get what they want, it sounds like it's a win-win deal. Well, ask Patricia about that. We're also going to talk some more UVM basketball. The head coach of the Cats is going to join us at 10:40, John Becker.
The second best coach in the country, in your opinion. It's on record.
I love John Becker. I love John Becker. Don't get me wrong. I've said this publicly. John Becker is one of the best coaches in the country, one of the best recruiters in the country, if not the best recruiter in the country. If you can get the athletes he's getting to come to UVM and have this team be competitive like this every year. They keep getting better. But when you look on a major conference like the ACC, you see my boy Tony Bennett's doing at Virginia.
Boo.
You give him a little something. I mean, you just got to keep just needling all the time, Bernie. Anyway, he's going to be here at 10:40. I'm interested to talk to him about his team because now, really, you just mentioned it when you were on the phone when we had Jan call in. UVM could tie this thing up quickly.
Yes.
And what happens then if they were to tie this thing up with X amount of games left? Do you start to rest these kids?
No.
You got to keep rolling.
No, you keep rolling. As you kind of look and progress with UVM, three on the road and then four at home, and there is a reality. You win those four games at home. And let's say you stub your toe once on the road in this road trip, you go 2-1, it's over. It's over at the end of that.
It's over in terms of the number one seed. But I guess the biggest concern now is, and I would say, and this is a good question I think to ask John, and we will when we get him on the phone, is that, you need to win these games. Because I think if you look at UVM, you look at a situation where you want a really good seed in this tournament.
Right, right.
I mean, this is a team I think that can beat a team or two if the matchups are right. This team can beat you.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about the big – their bigs can shoot and they can play in the post. How many teams can do that? I mean, think about them. How many great teams have bigs that can stretch you like that? Not very many. Vermont could be a formidable team in this tournament if they can get in.
As always.
They got to get in. And then second half of the hour at 11:40, we're going to have the senior NBA editor for Fansided, Ian Levy, talk some NBA. We haven't talked to NBA in a while, Byrne.
Tough night last night. My man going down.
Boogie?
I love Boogie.
Oh, man. That's a rough injury.
Yeah.
That's like one of the worst injuries. That's got to be brutal. Yeah, that's a tough loss. If you didn't hear, Cousins last night after a free throw tried to go tip the ball in, and he tore his Achilles tendon. He's out for the year. That's a New Orleans team that was rolling too. I think they had won a few games in a row. They just beat Houston. I think they were at the sixth. Right now they're at the sixth seed. A lot of good things are happening. Oklahoma City's playing better basketball. The Celtics have come back to earth a little bit. Cleveland is a mess. He's a mess. I'm going to ask you a question about LeBron James later in the show as well. So, you know, all kinds of stuff going on here. Big show today.
Yeah, always
good. We got a big show. You happy about the Super Bowl? Patriots-Eagles. That's like the worst nightmare for you.
I just can't believe that I have to cheer for the Eagles.
How can you cheer for the Eagles? I would so much rather see a Patriot win than an Eagle win.
No.
I mean, as a fan of the New York Giants, you're going to root for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Absolutely.
That is sacrilege.
Okay.
That is sacrilege.
That's wrong.
Okay. I'm mad at you for that, and I'm mad at Bon Jovi.
Oh,
I'll get into the Bon Jovi thing later on. I'm telling
you,
right
now,
Bon Jovi is a hypocrite, a traitor. How do you do that? How do you jump ship from team to team, Bon Jovi? Mr. Living on a Prayer.
Oh, come on.
Halfway there. Give me a break.
Come on, Jeff.
All right, take a quick break. We're going to talk some football with our good friend, senior editor from Inside Football, Patricia Traina. Don't go anywhere.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. Kick it!
I've admired the way he's handled things. I sort of like a calm approach to the position, and looking forward to getting to work with him.
That's Pat Shurmur, new head coach of the New York Football Giants. Exciting times out in the Giant Land, buddy.
It is. Times of transition, for sure.
And who better to talk to than our next guest here, our great Giant insider, senior editor for Inside Football, our good friend Patricia Traina joins us on the TikTok through his guest line. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Happy New Year. I haven't said it to you yet, so happy New Year. Hope it's been great for you so far.
Doing well. Same for you.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. I don't know when you should stop saying that, Bernie. Do you have an idea? Is it February 1 you stop saying Happy New Year?
I think so. I think you're allowed to say it through January.
All right. Then we still got a few days left. All right. Patricia, let's get right into this. There's a lot of new things happening in New York down in the Meadowlands. Kind of exciting, I think, if you're a Giant fan, I think, for fans that were kind of fed up with what's been going on the last couple of years. Looks like there's starting with Dave Gettleman. Talk about what's going on down there.
Well, there's a new sheriff in town, actually new sheriffs in town, and it's clear to me, just based on what limited interaction and what we've heard from these guys so far, that they have a new attitude, a new approach, and a new way of doing things. And interestingly, the new way is actually more of an old-school way of doing it. You know, the more I listen to Dave Gettleman and his philosophies on how to build a team, how to deal with a locker room, how to structure a culture, the more I'm reminded of the golden days of George Young, who I remember, you know, granted I was kind of young, I wasn't following back then the way I am now, but I do remember that, and I've had many of the senior beats tell me about the golden days of George Young, and it just sounds like they're getting back to the old school style that helped the Giants win and be so successful for nearly all of 1980s.
And what does that mean exactly? So when he says he's evaluating players differently, that the board that they're going to have, their draft board is going to be different. Like, what does that mean exactly?
Well, basically, what that means is they're not falling in love necessarily with measurables or quote unquote athletes. They're looking for production. They're looking for football players. And I know that was one of the complaints, if you will, or criticisms, that's probably a better word, that I had of the previous regime, because it just seemed to me that they would fall in love with a guy who met certain size requirements, certain weight requirements, hand measurements, what have you, and they wouldn't necessarily look at the production. And, you know, I agree with Gettleman in that you've got to look at the production and, you know, if a guy is, you know, for example, if a defensive end is instead of being 6'3", 275, which would be ideal, if he's maybe a little smaller than that, but he has, you know, 50 sacks over the course of his college career, how do you ignore that? You can't. I mean, just because a guy's an inch or too short, I mean, you have to marry the production with the size. Now, obviously, you're not going to go and get a, you know, a 5'11", 180-pound defensive end, but you have to more closely marry the two in order to find guys who are going to produce. And if they're producing at the college level, chances are they're going to be coachable and you're going to be able to get something out of them at the next level. So that's one of the big things that I think Dave Gettleman is changing about how they scout players and how they stack up their board.
With so much potential transition in the roster on the offensive line, Pugh, Richburg on the defensive side, you know, with Janoris Jenkins and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, where do you see it kind of filtering out? Is it going to be a clean sweep? Are they going to keep people? What have you heard?
I think the position you want to keep an eye on this offseason is that offensive line. You know, I'll just briefly talk about the defense for a second, then I'll circle back. I don't understand why people are saying that they need to get rid of Janoris Jenkins. I mean, last year the guy was injured, and he was 1 year removed from a Pro Bowl season. So I'm really not sure why there was such a push to get him off the roster. I know he had the discipline issue, but, you know, so did a lot of guys. And hopefully, you know, with the new regime and the clean slate, that gets fixed. But getting back to the offensive line, you know, one of the things Gettleman said and one of the things new head coach Pat Shurmur said is that it starts in the pit. And if you're not winning those battles in the pit, it doesn't matter who you have as your skill positions. And Shurmur gave a great example, you know, from his time in Minnesota. He talked about how they changed the offensive line, and they went from having an offense that was at or near the bottom of the rankings the year before to being a top unit. So, you know, you got to like that because it's so true. If you're not winning those one-on-one battles up front, you could have, you know, the complete Hall of Fame class as your skills position guys. It's not going to matter if your quarterback doesn't have time to throw. It's not going to matter if your running back doesn't have holes to exploit. You know, it just doesn't matter. So they've got to fix that offensive line.
Patricia, what are the chances the Giants do not take a quarterback with this first pick?
I think it's probably better than some people are maybe forecasting. I could see a scenario where they don't. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying I agree or disagree with that, but here's my thinking. They have, as we all know, the number two pick. But out of the quarterbacks that are coming out of this class, are any of them a surefire thing? We don't know that. I mean, you know, we can look at the production. We can look at the measurables and say, okay, you know, based on history, this guy looks good. This guy looks good. But I don't think Gettleman is going to force it at number two. You know, yesterday Pat Shurmur talked about Eli Manning having a few more years left. Gettleman has said that he believes Eli can still lead this team, you know, with better talent around him. Again, see the offensive line. So I could see a scenario, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I could see a scenario where maybe they trade down a few spots. And if there's a quarterback there that they feel they can get later on in the top 10, maybe trade down a few spots, pick up a few, you know, extra picks, and then go from there. That's what I would like to see them do. Because, you know, everybody's assuming that, you know, the all the quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3 in that order. I don't think that's going to be the case. And if they can trade down a couple of spots, get those extra picks, I think that's going to help them a lot more.
Where is Davis Webb in all of this conversation in terms of, you know, the quarterback talk and the draft and all this stuff? We really, he's kind of like the total unknown in all of this to me.
Yeah, he is kind of a mystery because, you know, he never got on the field during the regular season despite the intentions. The evaluations that were done on him were done by the previous coaching staff, so you know, that's really all they have to go on. So basically, you know, if you're Gettleman and you're Shurmur, you basically got to go back and look at the kid's college tape, you know, which is what you're going to do with these other quarterbacks that are, you know, in the draft class this year. And then you have to say to yourself, okay, is Davis Webb better than what is currently entering the draft? That's how I think Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur are going to approach this. I mean, it's the only way they can. Because like I said, you know, they don't really have film on Davis Webb unless you count the preseason stuff and who really does. So it is an unknown entity. But, you know, look, Davis Webb, very hardworking young man. He attached himself to Eli Manning's hip, really soaked up as much as he could from him. but he is an unknown because, you know, all that's all well and good, but if he's not, you know, if he's not able to transfer that onto the field, then what's the good?
We are talking to Patricia Train, a senior editor for Inside Football here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. She's a Giants insider and a great friend of ours, Patricia. Patricia, let me ask this question. The Giants going into last season were a projected Super Bowl contender, and obviously we know what happened, a 3-13 record. We also know that in the NFL, it doesn't take long to turn things around. Do you feel like this coaching staff and this and the general manager feel like this is a quick fix for them, or do you think this is going to take some time to get them to be a competitive football team again?
Well, I mean, you're right. There can be a quick turnaround. We saw that with the Giants in 2016, if you remember. You know, Ben McAdoo came in, and he took a team that basically didn't have a winning record for 2 years in a row, and he got them to the playoffs. So anything is possible. Now, are we talking quick turnaround as in Super Bowl contender? Probably not. I think they're probably a couple of years, maybe 3 years away from that being, you know, the case. Are we talking about a turnaround to a winning record and possibly, you know, postseason contention? That's doable. But I say that not knowing, of course, you know, what roster moves they plan to make and not knowing what the injury situation is going to be. Because let's face it, the injury situation in 2017 was just, it was terrible. I mean, that totally, like, I think wiped out a lot. When you lose Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall and, you know, the revolving door they had of linebackers, that all factored into the equation. So, you know, can they fix it? Yes, they can certainly get better. I mean, heck, they have nowhere to go but up. But how far up they're going to go, that remains to be seen.
If the Giants don't go quarterback in the first round, where do you envision them going?
I'm not really sure. I mean, my inclination would be to go running back because they really don't have that power running game. We saw hints of it from Orleans Darkwa. We saw a little bit of hints from Wayne Gallman. But Darkwa, of course, is a free agent, unrestricted free agent. Gallman's entering his second year. So I think they can definitely upgrade that running back spot, but I have a feeling they're going to upgrade that through free agency. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'd have to see how it kind of plays out over the next few weeks. They need linebackers. I mean, that we can all agree on. They need offensive tackles because right now they really have, you know, other than Eric Flowers, the rest of their depth at offensive tackle is kind of shaky. So, I mean, they can go in any number of directions. It's kind of hard to get a good feel on that until we get into free agency and also see some of the roster moves that Gettleman's going to probably put into effect when he starts trimming guys through the salary cap.
We only have a couple minutes left here, but you said earlier you think the Giants potentially are 2 or 3 years away from competing for a Super Bowl. Then if that's the case, then what's the point of Eli Manning? I mean, what's the point of keeping Eli in this position? I mean, obviously, if you're trying to groom somebody, but if you don't think you're going to be competitive for the next 3 years, why not just either give the job to Webb or draft the quarterback and start developing him for the future?
Good question. Actually, you want to build transition. You know, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that the Giants can't be a Super Bowl contender, but here's the thing. You have a small window left with this current roster, you know, guys that are signed with, you know, guaranteed money and whatnot. My guess is if they don't, you know, start to show upward progress, they're going to blow this whole thing up or start over, rather, you know, after this season anyway. So why not see if you can, you know, how far you can go with Eli and then take it from there? Because you're not going to build a Super Bowl team overnight. It doesn't happen. It takes time. So see if you're headed in the right direction. And this way, if you are, you say, okay, Eli, you know what? You played well enough on offense. The team is going in the right direction. We're going to bring you back in 2019, which, by the way, would have been the year that if they were going to move on from Eli, that's when it makes more sense against the cap to do it as opposed to this year. So I think that factors into the equation. But at the same time, you bring a young quarterback in and you say, okay, Eli, you know, we're done with you. Thanks for the service. Who do you have mentoring him other than the coach? I mean, you can't underestimate the importance of having a player who has been there and done that mentoring the guy. So I think Eli Manning, in addition to helping to lead the turnaround, is also going to serve as that mentor for, you know, whether it be Davis Webb, whether it be another young quarterback they bring in, or whatever the case may be.
Patricia Traynor, you're the best. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, guys.
Hey,
thank
wait,
you.
Before Thanks. I let you go, Patricia, who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl?
Oh, gosh.
Exactly.
Do I have to answer that one?
No, you don't have, you
good,
don't
good
have
enough.
To. You don't
good
have
enough.
To. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great one. I don't understand that this, honestly, as a Giant fan, why there's so much we can't root for the Patriots in this situation. I mean, why? I mean, Giant fans. I mean, the Giants seem to beat the Patriots. I don't have this anger or like hatred towards New England, like, you know, say you do.
I'm like that with everybody.
Can you imagine the Eagles win the Super Bowl? What that's going to be like with those fans? Oh my goodness, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, let them have one.
No, it's more fun to tell when they start making fun of us. We can say, you don't have any. I like to have that in my back pocket.
We'll still have more than them.
Doesn't matter. Once you win one, you won one. I tried that with the Red Sox with you for years. Now, how's that working out for me? All right, we're going to get
pretty good this offseason.
Oh, yeah, the Yankees look good. We'll talk about that some other time. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, John Becker. You don't want to go anywhere.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki back in the big seat. It's good to have you back, Bern.
Great to be back.
Good to have you back. I missed you. Austin Danforth did a great job while you were gone. We love Austin. He's our good buddy from the Free Press. But, you know, it's good to have you home.
Yeah, well, you know, time to rein you in a little bit. Yeah. You've been going crazy.
I do get off the rails a little bit. There's no question about it. Hey, listen, we know how proud we are of the UVM men's basketball team. This team is undefeated in America East, had a super season so far. So many great expectations. People have high expectations going forward.
Unrealistically high, in my opinion, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, I think it's good to have that kind of mentality, though. Isn't it great to have a UVM team like this team that has there's expectations that have probably never been there with any other team with UVM?
No, it's phenomenal.
I love that stuff.
Yes.
And so isn't the guy that we're going to talk to on the phone next. Except on the TikTok viewers guest line, the head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, Mr. John Becker. Good morning, coach. Thanks for taking the time, buddy.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Bernie. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, coach.
So before we get to your team, I just have to ask this quick question. Like, what's up with Porzingis not playing against Golden State? what's up with that? No toughness.
We're tanking, baby. We're tanking.
All right, we'll stop talking about the Knicks. Let's get to the real stuff. So undefeated in the America East. You got to be had a lot of injuries, though, obviously, but your team have really overcome that stuff. Talk about where you see your guys right now, coach.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing pretty well, and like you said, we've been able to overcome some adversity with these injuries and continue to play well, and guys have gotten an opportunity and taken advantage of it, and it's been really impressive.
Yeah, I know you heard us before we went on. Bernie said that there's some expectations that are...
I think the expectations sometimes are a little unrealistically too high. You know, not that I don't want the team to be successful, but I just think that sometimes people just have higher expectations than aren't in reality.
And my point to you, coach, is that's got to be music. And I don't know that's going to tell you where I'm going with this, but that's got to be music to your ears as a leader of this program. Because right now you have fans out there, and including me, that believe that you can make a run at this thing nationally. I mean, you know, and whether you get the national championship Final Fours, that's neither here nor there. But to me, your team matches up really well with the major conference teams in the country. I believe that you have the athletes and you have the ability, and obviously you've got the staff to do something. That's got to make you feel really good taking over a program like UVM that has a lot of success. Don't get me wrong. You took over a program that was winning, but you've taken this program to another level, coach. That's got to be music to your ears, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, interesting and something I'm really proud of that we've been able to continue to be really successful. But for the resources and the, you know, the budgets and everything, you know, to have these expectations is interesting, you know, and we certainly have high expectations for ourselves and feel like we can now compete nationally. But you look at the, you know, w- what these other programs have compared to us, you know, it makes it even more unbelievable, even that it's a discussion point. But you know, that we're proud of what we're able to do, and you know, we expect to win every game, and but for the people that know, you know, it makes it even more incredible what we're able to accomplish.
No doubt. And speaking of accomplishing things, to the team, the here and now, the one guy on your team, you know, Trabell Haynes is phenomenal. The one guy I think is just having a tremendous year for you and kind of is flying under the radar, and that's Ernie Duncan, not only offensively but defensively. Talk about his year and you know, why you think I think he's finally healthy, you know, for a long period of time, so we really get to see the true Ernie Duncan as a basketball player.
Yeah, I agree. He's had an incredible year, and I think being healthy, I think him and Trey's chemistry in the backcourt is tremendous. But you know, his defense this year has been the difference. He is guarding the best perimeter player on opposing teams, and doing a really good job. And from an offensive standpoint, always been able to shoot, but now getting to the basket, finishing at the rim, using his strength. He's got more pop this year, which speaks to him being healthy. And I think he's been really good. And the combination of Trey and him, I mean, it's one, you know, got to be one of the best mid-major backcourts in the country.
Coach, this is probably an answer. You probably can't give me an answer here, and I'm not expecting one, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You're sitting 7-0. You're about to go on a road trip. Let's say you were to win all these games on the road, and you end up locking this America East up soon with X amount of games left to play. You know, obviously we know the injury issues your team has had this season, and obviously the goal right now is to lock up that number one seed to get you that Patrick Jim, you know, everyone playing at Patrick through the America East tournament. Do you sit guys? Do you give guys rest if you lock this thing up early?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I really haven't thought about it yet, but I think my answer now would be no. We would just play out the season normally and continue to try. You know, the thing, and you know, we had a film session yesterday and watching the Albany tape. I still think there's a lot of room for growth with this team and room for improvement, and I don't think we're playing at our ceiling yet. So until we can get there, we have things we need to get better at, and so we're going to continue to push and get better. And so, you know, I think we would continue to strive for that, regardless of our record, regardless of whether we have the regular season, you know, locked up or not. You know, you know, we're going to practice this afternoon, and I'm excited because there's still room for growth with this team.
Do we expect to see Anthony Lamb back this season?
I hope. You know, it's hard to know right now. He's been in a boot and really hasn't done much. He has a doctor's appointment back in Rochester in mid-February. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some more, answers at that point. But I think he's hoping and we're hoping. But it's really hard to know right now. But, you know, we'll see.
Coach, you know, you talk about the film session and room for growth. Help me understand where that room for growth is, because you held a really good Albany team to 50 points. They didn't get an offensive rebound till about halfway through the second half. Talk to me about where you're going to focus in on practice, you know, because you don't play again till next Wednesday, about how this team, you want to get them better.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, defensively, there's a couple, you know, we're still getting a couple guys up to speed, and cleaning up some rotations and some coverages, and you know, in transition we can still be better. And on the offensive end, I think, you know, we can be sharper. Our offense is one of the best in the country right now. If you look at KenPom and some analytics sites, you know, we've been really good on that end, but I still think, you know, some decisions we make we could be better with, how to attack certain teams and the way they guard us. I think you know, we'll have some tape now, we can go and be a little bit better, but I just think from an execution standpoint, we can always be a little bit sharper. And again, a lot of our newer guys, you know, they're not playing as much as they should because of the execution piece. So they can continue to get better and, you know, give us a deeper team. And, you know, I think some of the young guys are really talented. They may have hit a wall or not. I don't know. But you know, I still think we can get more from some guys. And it's an execution thing on both ends of the court that we can get better with.
You know, Coach, we talked about Ernie Duncan. How about his brother Everett? You know, double-double mm-hmm. the other night, 7 offensive rebounds, hitting clutch threes. You know, someone who, again, didn't play last year, steps right in and just seems to starting to ooze with confidence and get better with every game. Talk about his progression as well.
Yeah, he's been amazing. You know, probably had his best game of his career against Albany, a double-double, 7 offensive rebounds. And when you talk about execution, I thought he went out and executed our game plan as well as anyone has all year. I thought he was spot on doing what we were asking. And yeah, he just he continues to just be really dependable. And he's our only guard with size. So right now that's in our rotation. And so he's become invaluable, you know, like when Campbell's in there at 6'7", 6'8" on the wing, you know, we kind of need Evan there to match his size a little bit. And so, you know, that's just something that's kind of worked out through the season. And you know, he's playing a lot of minutes. And because of that and because he's been productive, and it's been really impressive and something you know, you look at when he got here as a freshman to where he is now. I mean, he's just grown so much as a player. I said in the off season, I've never seen a kid take advantage of a redshirt year like he did as far as improving his skill set and getting better. And, you know, you're seeing that work, that hard work pay off this year. And it's been really important for our success.
Coach, big road trip coming up. Best of luck. Thanks for taking the time this morning and keep it going, man. We're really proud of you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Head coach of the UVM men's basketball team, John Becker, joins us here live on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. Interesting conversation with the coach, man. I mean, he's right there. But again, your point exactly. There's so much expectation right now around this program. We're talking about the University of Vermont, and there's expectation this team can go out and win, not only win this conference, win the tournament that they have, but go to the NCAA tournament, make some noise. This team can do that.
They can. They are built for it. And
keep thinking you can. Like, fans, have that expectation.
Absolutely.
I think that's great. I think it's great.
Yeah, it really is. And what Coach Becker has done and what these guys are doing and the staff, it's just a fantastic, fantastic story.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to go off on Bon Jovi. Don't go anywhere.
That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
You know, Bernie, I've told you many times that the reason you and I even have this show is because we're fans, okay? We root for teams. I don't have to be like, I don't know if it's subjective or objective, whatever the objective, subjective thing is. I don't know which word to use in this position. What am I using? Subjective or objective?
What are you doing right
now? I'm talking about Bon Jovi. I'm mad at Bon Jovi.
Why?
I'm mad at Bon Jovi because if you remember when the Giants won the Super Bowl in 1990, I think, when they beat the Bills, what was it, 90, 91, whatever. Okay. You know, if you watch that video, you know they give out the championship video, you watch that, you used to get it from Sports Illustrated. I think
sure.
You got it for free if you got the subscription. Well, you have this video, and Bon Jovi, it's like Bon Jovi's on the sidelines with the Giants. He's a big Giant fan. You know, he's from Jersey. He's a big,
He's a fan and a friend of Bill Belichick.
I don't care who he's a friend or a fan of. He's a big fan of the New York Giants. I didn't hear anything about Bill Belichick's buddy in this video. All I heard was Bon Bon Jovi's a big Giant fan. He bleeds blue. He struggles with this team. He's with them all the way. And then I turn on, I'm watching the game today, and he's leading a song. He's a big Patriot fan all of a sudden. I think I've said this before. Like, what is wrong with Bon Jovi? I mean, what kind of fan is Bon Jovi? You're gonna jump ship on the Giants? Jumping.
He's got a fan, and he's got a team in the NFC. He's got a team in the AFC.
No, that's not. That's not the way it works in any league. That's not the way it works. You cannot be a fan of two teams in the NFL. I'm sorry, it can't happen.
Why?
Then you're not a real fan.
Oh, baloney.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. I do not. When the Giants get back to the Super Bowl sometime in this lifetime, and they'll get back again, I do not want to see Bon Jovi anywhere near the sideline. I don't want to see him in any. I don't want him to be invited anywhere. He doesn't deserve anything. He's a Patriot now. He's off the reservation. I'm fed up with this. I can't believe he even did it.
Jeff, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
Yes, you are.
How am I wrong? Because how am I wrong?
Why can't he be a fan of both?
You can't be a fan because it just doesn't work. Somebody help me out with this.
Wait, you are not.
Aaron, give me. Are you a fan of two teams anywhere? Who's a fan of two teams in one league? You cannot be a big time. If you're a diehard Giant fan, where they're putting you on the video, you're like the guy on the video that you're like the focal point of the video in a championship run. You can't be rooting for the Patriots 10 years later, 20 years later. Give me
Why?
A break. Because you're a Giant. You're not a Patriot. You're a Giant. Give me a break.
Come on, Jeff.
Come on, Jeff. Come on, Bon Jovi. Oh, we're halfway there.
Yeah.
Living on a prayer.
Come on, man.
You can't be living on a prayer when you're a Patriot fan anyway. The Patriots win all the time. You're living on a prayer when you're a Giant fan.
You're going to cheer for the Patriots.
Well, because
but now you're poo-pooing them.
I'm poo-pooing Bon Jovi. It's not the Patriots' fault that Bon Jovi is a flip-flopper. It's not the Pats' fault. It's his fault. I'm just talking about the man. I'm not talking about the Patriots. You're a big Giant fan for a long time. They start losing, and now we hate now we're the Patriots.
So I can't be a Yankee fan next year?
You can, but I'll call you a flip-flopper too. Should I do SportsCenter now?
Yeah, about
okay.
time.
All right, I got it off my chest.
Okay.
Whew. You can say that again.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
You know, I have to say, as soon as the song came on, you and I together, yep. The head bops, it's going. Yeah, gotta love that.
Oh, this is a classic.
I gotta tell you, man, when I go on a rant like I just did about Bon Jovi, like I feel better. Like I've been holding that for like since Monday. I saw it during the game, and then Monday I was watching Facebook and all the Patriot fans are liking this and sharing this video. Bon Jovi out there leading the crew and look at him over there, the big phony Giant fan
he's
for years.
Not a
now,
phony.
Now he's a Patriot. Oh. Maybe he's not a phony, but he's a flip flopper, is what he is. He's not a real fan of anything. He'll probably be rooting for the Eagles next year if the Eagles end up winning. If he does that,
then I'll have a problem.
Give me a break. It's terrible. Interesting comments by our wide receiver that played for like a half a minute, Brandon Marshall.
And had more drops in that half
a
minute.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But it was Eli's fault. Anyways.
We don't even go down the road with Eli. You know how I feel about Eli. You should be very excited.
Hold on. We have to stop the Giants talk.
Oh, yeah,
when we had Patricia on,
that
because we just hired a head coach.
And we didn't even talk about, by the way. We didn't even ask your question about him.
You know, and
we're
and
terrible.
We have all the Giant haters out there. Yeah. Knock it off.
Stop talking about the Giants. Irrelevant. I get it.
Okay.
But anyway, this is kind of relevant. Aaron, read the quote for me, buddy.
So Marshall asked the co-host on the show he was on, how long have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady been together? 18 years, they responded. 18 years, almost 20 years doing this together. The league is not competitive. We all should be ashamed. Even you guys that's been covering them on TV should be ashamed, Marshall began, his voice rising. Why, one of the other men on the panel, it sounds like Phil Sims, asked him. But Marshall was just getting warmed up. Pumping his arm to emphasize his points, he continued, players should be ashamed, coaches should be ashamed, owners should be ashamed. How do we let these guys do this year in and year out?
Interesting conversation piece, right? 655-6672 if you want to join the conversation or text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Both numbers can get hold of us. Because
they're that good.
Well, but again, he's wrong. He's wrong. I don't think that anybody should be... Well, you think that people should be ashamed of themselves because the Patriots have won so much? You think it's the NFL
no,
is competitive?
I think the Patriots should be proud of what they've done.
Totally agree. And would you deem that the Patriots have won so much that the NFL is not competitive enough? Would you agree with that?
No. I mean, I think the NFL is competitive enough. I mean, there's...
In this era, I think in this era, it's built.
I mean, the Patriots almost lost to Jacksonville.
Well, I think
in the game, in terms of the the competitive nature. I mean, it's not like they're blowing everybody out by 80.
Right.
You know, in the playoffs, it's a game.
I think what you're seeing here is I think there are a handful of athletes that come along during different eras in football. Right now, we are looking at the greatest coach, in my opinion, of all time in Bill Belichick, and in my opinion, the greatest quarterback of all time in the perfect era, Bernie. I think if guys like Joe Montana and Troy Aikman, I'm going to use those two guys that I think are probably in the 80s, in early 90s, those were the two teams, the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. If they played in this era, they'd be doing the exact same thing. And I say that because we play in an era now where the quarterback is completely protected. I mean, the rules protect quarterbacks, and when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, who's going to come out here and say that he is not the greatest quarterback to ever live? I mean, and again, this era allows that because I think you're looking at, you know, the rules are built around protecting quarterbacks. I can't imagine Joe Montana in this era would have been the greatest quarterback of all time. Think about the hits Joe Montana took that would have been.
What about Steve Young?
Steve Young, another one. I think, we can use that's one right. That's one team. Steve Young's another one. But I think when you think of the great quarterbacks in the past, that hit that Jim Burt gave Joe Montana would have been a penalty. The hit that Leonard Marshall gave Joe Montana that knocked him out would have been a penalty. I mean, these guys were beaten up back in the day. Troy Aikman's another one. So I think the era has a lot to do with it. But to say that the problem is that, you know, that the NFL, people should be ashamed because it's not competitive, I think right now you just have a perfect storm with the New England Patriots. You have the best coach ever. You have the most prepared. He's a savant. He's a football savant, and he's coaching the New England Patriots, and you have the greatest quarterback of all time. Because if you look at the Patriots roster, it's not like you have every all-star in the league here. You got every year we go in saying, who the hell are these guys?
And that is the thing that's amazing to me is they just find people, and those players buy in, and they figure it out, and they work. And it's amazing how that organization and operation, they just get
it's
it done.
It's amazing. And Tim from South Burlington just sent a text. He said, I can't forget about Jim Kelly in Buffalo, and agreed.
What about, how good would Dan Marino be right
now? Dan Marino's another one. But I think the difference between, say, Kelly and Marino and Aikman and Young and Montana is that those organizations won a lot of Super Bowls. They won a lot of games. I'm not saying they didn't win a lot of games either, but those were teams that were winning Super Bowls. We're talking about longevity. We're talking about teams that keep winning year after year. That's what the Patriots are right now. The Patriots are the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s, I guess. We could even talk about maybe Terry Bradshaw's there. That was a little before me, but his era, he would have maybe they win more championships if the rules are different. I mean, and to me right now, the NFL is protecting. It protects athletes now. Whether you like it or not, whether you like the new rules or not, it protects quarterbacks. I think that's why you're seeing a Patriot dominance, because you have the greatest quarterback ever to live that's being really protected, and you got the greatest coach ever to live as well.
But is he being really – but everybody, like you said,
everybody is
being protected.
Exactly.
We just – because they're
elite.
So good.
But he's elite.
Correct.
Okay, so there's Tom Brady, there's everybody else.
Yes.
Period. I mean, bar none. Now, there are people that would argue with you that will say – it has nothing. I've got a good friend in Boston that would say, and if he's listening, because sometimes he listens to the show, 802-655-6672, he's got great points, but he believes it's all Belichick. He thinks if Brady played in another team, he'd be very average.
Another system,
he'd be very average to me.
But it doesn't matter.
I agree. And I think that's all he,
right. That doesn't matter.
None of that stuff matters.
Let's ask this. What if Peyton Manning played for the Patriots?
Sure.
Or any team that didn't have Marvin Harrison he start his Broncos career with Brandon Marshall, or was that after Marshall
Brandon Marshall
left?
Was gone.
He was gone?
Yeah. He had what's his, the 88. He's still there.
Yeah, Thomas.
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, what about that?
I don't think Peyton Manning is as good as Tom Brady.
He's not, but
what I'm saying, but I get what you're saying. And that's my friend from Boston. That's his philosophy. If you put Aaron Rodgers in New England, they would have never lost to the Giants, in his opinion. He thinks they're better athletes than Tom Brady is. To me, I think Tom Brady greatest quarterback. I think he's the greatest quarterback ever to live, and he plays for the best coach. And when you have that and you have the rules in place, this era fits this run that New England's had perfectly.
It's fantastic, and you know I am no Patriot fan at all.
You're not
at all, and I only got to see the fourth quarter of the Jacksonville game, and then you know I did some reading, and you know heard everybody complaining about.
You did some reading.
I know. Can you believe that? You know, good. I did some reading after
That's
the
nice.
Game.
I like to hear that.
You know, complaining about the officials and this, but so. You know, I'll buy into that in a second because I get a chance to take a shot. But, you know, the next day on the NFL channel, I'm watching the first three quarters. And I'm looking and maybe, if you really want to get nitpicky, maybe the pass interference at the end of the first half is a 50-50.
AJ Bouye?
But maybe. Again, the everything else was all legit.
And I will say this. I you were out last week, but I had talked about this. I had posted during the Tennessee game. There were two calls in Tennessee. Did you get to watch the Tennessee game at all? Did you get to see that at all? The New England-Tennessee game, the playoff, their first playoff game. Okay, so in the first half, I felt there were two calls that just ended that game. The pass interference call on Decker, if you remember that in the first half. Stopped the drive. Don't know if have no clue what would have happened with Tennessee. And first of all, you and I were on the air that day, and we both predicted that Tennessee would get walloped by New England. No one expected Tennessee to be competitive, but
they hung around for a quarter.
That call stopped the drive. They punt. New England scores a touchdown. My next thing I talked about was when they called the legal procedure on the Patriots on the punt. Then the officials talked about it, and they turned it the other way. You know, those two, so all I wrote on Facebook is I simply wrote on there, I just simply put down, those two calls are why there are conspiracy theories about the Patriots and officials. That's what I wrote. And I got lambasted by my Patriot friends, obviously. I talked about that last week where I get, you know, but a friend of mine that had posted some aggressive stuff with me last week about that called me and said, did you see anything that you thought was biased? And I told him, honestly, no. I thought it was a well-officiated game. I didn't see any problems. And I think it's interesting about that collusion talk that people seem to have with New England. And again, I think it happens because New England wins all the time and they're in the forefront a little bit. And I think that New England, just like a lot of great organizations and epic teams have done for years, when you get the benefit of the doubt on a call, you take advantage of it.
Well, but they're also so well coached. They don't commit those type of penalties. You know, I just think, and again, I'll be the first person to say, yep, you know, they collusion, blah blah blah,
you're saying that to dig at people. You don't really mean it,
right? They're just that good. I respect it, but I don't like it.
On the other end of the spectrum, we have the Philadelphia Eagles going to the Super Bowl. A Philadelphia Eagle team that I thought was probably the best team in football until they lost Carson Wentz. Nick Foles looked unbelievable against Minnesota.
You mean Jeff Hostetler?
Yeah, right. But what I'm going to say is, I think what we see with Philadelphia, and I think we saw it last year with Atlanta, is how important people poo-poo early season NFL games because it's just about getting to the playoffs. You really got to have that home field advantage, Bernie. That having that, it means something. It really does, especially in the NFL.
Crazy. I couldn't believe the beatdown that Eagles gave the Vikings.
And people, and I have, you know, AC, our angry Philly fans, text me, like, what do you think of Foles now? And I'm like, I don't know what I think of him because these guys, I could have hit these guys. They were wide open.
I don't know. A couple of those throws were on the money.
On the money, there's nobody around him.
The flea flicker?
I mean, the corner
of the end zone?
Okay, that's a good throw. I'll give you that's a good throw. But my point is that you know, Minnesota just rolled over. And, you know, you wonder, and again, I said it the week before when Atlanta went to Philadelphia, when I told you Atlanta was going to lose that football game, another indoor team comes to play outside. And you remember, Bernie, you're a Giants fan. In 2000, I think it was the year 2000, Minnesota was going into the Giants stadium in the NFC Championship. Minnesota had all the stars. You remember Randy Moss, Chris Carter. That was like the
Dante.
They were unbelievable. And the Giants put 41 on them, and they didn't score 0 points. That's going into the Meadowlands. Again, I think these indoor teams have to have the home field when it comes to playoff time in the NFL. Agreed?
I wouldn't disagree with that, you know, but I also wonder if Minnesota was just on the emotional hangover of the miracle.
How can you have an emotional hangover going to the NFC Championship? I just don't buy that. I just think that
with the energy and emotion from the fans and there being on the road, being outside, being out of your element, you're just kind of it's taxing.
655-6672 if you want to join the conversation or join us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I just can't imagine you get yourself to the see. To me, I thought after that game was over that Minnesota was riding some like golden sombrero through this thing. I just thought it was, or whatever the word is. You know, I just thought they were like the chosen team this year. Things were happening for them.
Going to be at home. Know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I think a big part of why the Eagles were so successful against the Vikings and why the Pats may have a different approach than the Falcons and the
Vikings.
Vikings. is that the Falcons and the Vikings in the postseason this year combined for 7 sacks total. The Patriots had 11. So there was no pressure on Foles. He actually, they only gave up 1 sack in the Vikings game.
Yeah, but I think that speaks volumes to the Eagles' offensive line, which is one of the best in the NFL. We get that, and they have a great defensive line. Again, we talked about this against Jacksonville. What beats Brady is good defensive lines. That's what beats Brady. Guys that can get pressure on him. If you can get pressure on him, you can do it.
And the other thing, too, is I think there is such a mentality of, oh, they're still going to win. And
yeah,
you know, like, and what I
in terms of the Patriots or the Eagles,
the Patriots,
yeah, of course. Did you ever feel there was nothing? I never felt doubt like they weren't going to come back and win the football game.
Well, but again, watching Jacksonville, they got so conservative.
Can you blame them though? Can you blame them though?
Do you hear
this? Yes, I can blame them because if you want to win, you got to go take it from
them. I agree.
You have to be aggressive. You're better off trying to be aggressive and trying to make plays to win than. Okay, let's hand off and punt, and maybe our defense can get us out. Go win the game.
Well, yeah. I will
be
say
aggressive.
I will say this: I didn't watch that game and think, boy, Jacksonville really went into a shell there. I thought Jacksonville played the way they played earlier in the game. I thought they played that game the way they had a game plan for the football game, and they did what they had to do to win. I didn't look at this as it was like
in the first half, they're play action, they're running different stuff. That all went away in the fourth quarter.
It actually started at the end of the second quarter when they did something no team had done all season, deciding to close out the first half with 2 timeouts and 55 seconds left.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, look, you can nitpick them a lot. I think that they're out. And again, but again, I think if you listen, my expectation with this football game coming up next week is that, you know, how do you pick against the Patriots? I mean, I don't know how you do. I don't know.
I might not watch.
You know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a close game. I think if anybody matches up well with them, I thought Minnesota matched up the best. I thought Minnesota and Jacksonville going into this thing matched up best. But if Nick Foles, but I just cannot imagine Nick Foles out-dueling Belichick. I just can't imagine it. I cannot picture a Belichick team, the defensive mind that he has, and I understand that the coordinator gets all the credit, but it's Bill Belichick's defense that Foles is going to beat that. How can anybody pick that? I can't imagine it.
Oh boy!
Better
get our boy AC on next week because
he's gonna be. He's already fired up, man. Well, he's off the reservation. He's wearing that pleather Eagles jacket everywhere. And
I want you to ask him that question.
I will. I will ask him that question
because
he won't like it.
No.
I'm never gonna get a cheesesteak either. By the way, you remember the last time these two teams played? The greatest Super Bowl upset of all time. I told you about happened on that day, 2002 Eagles Patriots.
Yeah.
My friend had that snake, that boa constrictor I told you about.
Oh, that's right.
Puts the rat in with the boa constrictor,
that's right.
And the rat beat up the snake. The snake would not eat the rat. The greatest upset in Super Bowl history happened at San Remo Drive, South Burlington, 2002. I saw it.
You going to try that again?
You know how I feel about snakes. I was so proud of that mouse. I still listen to me right now, man. You go take that rat and let it go out back somewhere. Don't bring it back to the store. That's Mighty Mouse. He deserves to live.
Oh, man.
Greatest upset in Super Bowl history, 2002, South Burlington. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, talk a little basketball, Bernie. I want to talk to you about LeBron James. I got an interesting question that I want you to answer for me.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds great.
Don't go anywhere.
That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Talking a little Super Bowl with that last segment. You know, next weekend, I'm only going to be on the show for the first hour because my wife's best friend's getting married on Super Bowl Sunday. How about that? And I got to travel like 3.5 hours to get there. How about that? So
no.
I'm only going to...
Stop. Stop it.
Stop what? I got to drive
no,
4 hours
no,
to Super
Bowl.
No,
no,
Jeff. I'm probably going to miss the
don't
game
and
drive back.
Jeff, don't do it.
I'm annoyed.
Jeff, don't do it.
What?
Don't.
I tried to tell Monica this morning. I was like, I'll tell you what, Mon, how about this? You get a ride with somebody. Meet you there after the show. She's like, you are not doing that. That's not happening.
Jeff.
You know, I'll let you do the first hour, then we're going.
Jeff.
What? I'm annoyed.
No. Okay. Someone's going to get married. And
I love them. Don't get me wrong. They're great people. But you pick Super Bowl weekend? Kidding me?
This is Tom Brady's big day.
My goodness. Can you imagine? Let me just say this. If the Giants were in the Super Bowl this weekend, I'd be like, dude, nope. No way. Again, not happening.
But it's, once,
but they're not.
Once again, yes. I still need to ask the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Super Bowl, why isn't it played on Saturday?
I know, you hate that.
With 2 weeks in between, why aren't we playing Saturday night?
Because it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Don't care.
I think that's why.
Yeah, okay.
The game starts at 6:30, man. It's not like it's going to be on until midnight. It's not like you're watching
the game. With the halftime show, no.
Aaron, this is a bone of contention with him. So any big game, anything that's big, Bernie wants to have it at like 2 in the afternoon.
No, that's not true.
Because he wants a day off the next day.
With the halftime. With the halftime.
I could do without that.
So now the game is really, let's be realistic, and all the stuff, it's not going to be over till 10:30. For kids, that's late.
I know it's late. I know, but
on
a school night, it's an event. It's one day a year. It's an event. Let the kids sleep in the next
day. It's like the NCAA tournament, the championship, on a Monday night at 9:12.
Yeah, I agree. That's a little late. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to argue there. You play that game at 7.
It's the same thing.
It's not. The Super Bowl is probably a little bit bigger than that, I would think, in terms of what people look at. I mean,
it's true.
And it starts at 6:30. You understand what I'm saying? So if it's over at 10:30, you know, I get it. Once in a while, the kids got to stay up to watch the big game burn. Don't you remember as a kid doing that when you were young? I can remember doing my dad being, let me stay up a little later to watch a big game. I can remember that. This is good time. As a parent, your son and daughter will remember this as they get old. Remember those days that dad would let me stay up and watch the Super Bowl? Remember when we were 17 years old and dad let us stay up and watch the Super Bowl?
No, go to bed.
Remember that?
Go to bed.
Bernie Siplicki.
It infuriates me.
Everything infuriates you.
Yeah,
just
get
to put it on the list. So,
okay.
So I have a basketball question for you and for our audience. 655-6672, 802-655-6672. You can call us or on the Town Fair Tire text line, 655-672. You can text us, which is cool. We've got a bunch of texts today, and thanks, and keep them coming in. We love those. But this week, baseball announced, and I'm going basketball quickly. I'm just going to say baseball announced their Hall of Fame inductees, Jim Thome, Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones and Vladdy Guerrero.
And you don't like Trevor Hoffman
Tomey. I'm not into those guys being in it. But this is the era win because, yes, they were great ball players and crazy good ball players, but should they be in the Hall of Fame? And so my next question goes to this, is about LeBron James. I'm not talking about the greatest players of this era. I'm saying there are a handful of basketball players that have played that you would say would be on the Mount Rushmore. And I think LeBron James's name is one of those guys that you could debate should be up there, correct?
Yes.
I mean, he's not mine, but I'm saying that people would definitely debate me and say, look, this is why LeBron is, all the points, whatever he's done. So LeBron James is what we call an iconic player. He's a player that you're going to talk about 50, 60, 70 years from now. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. So when we think back to the ones in our – think back to players – that we would say are iconic players. Let's go through some names, right? So Michael Jordan would be one. Larry Bird would be one. I would say Magic Johnson would be one. Maybe Julius Irving. Okay, on the fringe of that, I think, is Julius Irving. I'm not sure Julius Irving is still in Michael, Larry, and Magic era, but I think he's close. Give me somebody else. Wilt Chamberlain. That's way before our era, but...
Kareem.
You know, Kareem. Okay, so players like that, iconic players that were... You know, so players on the fringe of that, I would say, are like... You know, we're not talking Isaiah Thomas, and we're not talking about guys like that. We're talking about the guys that are iconic players. Would you agree that LeBron James is an iconic player, Bernie? Like that. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kobe, Shaq,
those types of players, right? Yes. Is any of those players that I just mentioned to you that it's not named LeBron, when you think of their names, what do you think, first word that comes to your head when it comes there, when name comes, what's your first? So when I say Michael Jordan, what's your first thought?
Greatest.
When I say Larry Bird, what's your first thought?
Mullet.
Deadly.
Mullet. Of course, dude. Listen, anybody that can carry a mullet, I'm all in with that. I mean, I don't have anything, so I'm good. But my point is...
But you look good today.
New razor.
Okay.
Nothing beats a fresh razor when you have this. And I had a little growth going in there. You know, I had a little bit coming up, so it was like, oh, man, it's good. Anyway, my point is, has there ever been an... So my alter point with what I'm saying is...
Where are you going with this?
I'm trying to get there. You're talking about my head again. Oh. He got me discombobulated. I mean, this is what happened.
I think I've ran a marathon.
But what I'm
time.
Saying to you is that when I think of Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic, I don't think anything negative. Nothing negative at all about them. I just don't. My first thought process is greatest, unbelievable, miss that. That mean miss watching them play. Like when I see Magic Johnson now, like it makes me smile. Like, I mean, I wasn't a Laker fan. I just mean like I see Larry Bird and it kind of makes you feel good to see them. LeBron James is just never going to be there. LeBron James to me, if he was on my team, is like when I eat Taco Bell. It's so good in the beginning, but I know it's going to be ugly later. And that's the biggest problem that I have with LeBron James. Like, look what he's done to Cleveland. Look what he's going to do. What he's doing to Cleveland twice.
Win championships.
Win champ. That's when there's your talk. That's when I eat Taco Bell. Beginning, it's great. This is good. I'm enjoying this. But I know there's going to be a real problem later on, and that's what's happened here. This is a guy that gets drafted. It gets brought into Cleveland as a rookie. You know, he's wearing 23. You know, you think he's the next guy. You can see there were a lot of similarities to him and Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan taking the Bulls and having some rough times in the beginning, but building something. And as soon as he had
and
the
still getting to a finals,
and he had still had
with an awful roster.
I'm with you. So that's what he did. That's what he did at Cleveland, correct? But then when he had an opportunity to go, instead of staying there to get it to where they needed to win a championship, to the organization that got him there, the guy that's supposed to be the next great thing, he goes to take his talents to Miami, where he goes and wins a zillion championships with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and we know the whole story there. Then when that thing starts to fall apart, he decides to go back to Cleveland. Here we go. He's back at Cleveland again. We're all excited about this. This is all exciting. We can't wait to be there. This is going to be great. Wins a championship, and now look at what's happening with Cleveland. Do you think Kyrie Irving would be out of Cleveland right now if LeBron James never came there?
He got sick of kissing King James' feet.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, LeBron James is a great player, iconic player, arguably one of the, if not the, I don't think he's the greatest player ever to live, but I'm sure there are people out there that would say he's the greatest player ever to live. But at the end of the day, he's basically destroyed this, in my opinion, for the exception of the championship, he's going to destroy this organization again, because next year he's going to be gone, and this team's going to be a lottery team again.
You think he's gone?
I do. I think he's gone. He's just the coaching staff. He's the one that makes the decision on the coaching staff. The guy that he got when they first got there, what was his name? The guy that came, the Russian national team coach, David Blatt.
Yeah.
You know, didn't like him. He's out. Wanted Tyronn Lue. Got Tyronn Lue. Won a championship. Now he doesn't like Tyronn Lue anymore. Now it's Tyronn Lue's the problem. Doesn't have enough talent. Not enough talent here. Not enough talent there. The Cleveland Cavaliers trade Kyrie Irving to Boston for Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas comes over here. They're not working. The team isn't working. I look at this guy and I think, you had a chance to be the next guy. And I'm not just talking about, in for whatever reason, society today, we have a tendency to kind of, people that play well, we get, you know, they're the greatest of all time. LeBron James could have been one of the top 10 players ever to play in the NBA, maybe one of the top 5 players, and he probably still is talent-wise.
How is he not?
I'm not saying he's not. It's not about whether he is or he isn't. It's just like maybe I said that wrong. He is potentially top 5 player ever to play. But in terms of like likability, he just doesn't have it.
So the bottom line is you just don't like the way he carries himself.
I don't.
He's a tremendous talent. You just don't like him.
Well, I may not like him.
You don't like the way he carries himself as a professional.
I don't like the way he carries himself as a professional. A guy with that stature, a guy with that talent, a guy that could really take an organization like Cleveland.
And he did.
He did.
Twice.
He's
done it twice.
He destroyed them the first time. What are you talking about twice?
He took them to the championship.
And then what did he do? He left. And that team was at the bottom of the barrel for years.
And then he came back and resurrected
it. And then what? Then he leaves and what? And buries it again? That's legacy for you? Legacy is chasing championships like that? He knew he wasn't as close as he thought he was in Cleveland. It's going to be easier to go do it in Miami. He goes to Miami.
But you have to remember, at the time he leaves for Miami, I'm not saying it's right that he left. But here's a kid who never got recruited out of, because he went straight from high school.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
he got recruited by Duke.
Well, of course.
Could have been a Duke.
Everybody does.
Yeah, like, does he even recruit? He must just be like, hey, we're interested, see ya. And it's Duke. You go to Virginia, you want to learn how to play basketball.
Stop it.
Anyway, yeah, right now.
Well, I know. When Virginia wins today, you'll be happy.
Stop it.
I know what but anyways, doing. Back to LeBron. He goes to Miami because, you know, he's like recruited and he wants to go and try something different. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think there's a lot wrong with that when you're LeBron James. There's a lot wrong with that.
He was in Cleveland. He did. He saw it. Maybe he recognized he made a mistake, and then he comes back and he fixes the problem.
Make a mistake. Okay, so
He leaves.
And then what's he doing now? Then what's he doing right now? That's like Michael not being able to coexist with Scottie Pippen. Give me a break.
No, because you know what else? And you're going to – it's the middle of January.
Yeah.
Okay. The holidays are over.
Yep.
Everybody's grumpy.
I'm not grumpy.
I'm always grumpy.
Yes, you are.
That locker room is grumpy. Isaiah Thomas is working its way back
Come on.
Into health. They had the workout some things with Kevin Love. they're going to be fine.
They're probably going to be fine because they have great talent, but they're not okay in terms of the mentality there. And every time it goes bad in Cleveland, he's pointing fingers. It's ugly
to try to get
there.
Everybody to
it's
be better.
Ugly in there. It's, and he's going to go. It's ugly in there. When you have another player like Kyrie Irving on that roster, that when LeBron James decided to retire, you know, he could really kind of like, you know, kind of he'd be the next guy, I guess. I mean, he can't coexist with that. You can't be. I mean, I don't get it. And I think what he did was wrong. I think when you get drafted or recruit, whatever it is, when you go from the eight, you get drafted from high school. At that point, you get drafted from high school to the pros. He was playing for Cleveland.
He was the number one pick overall.
Exactly. And he's building the organization. They get to a world championship. They don't win it. State, whatever.
He won state championships.
He won a state championship too, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And then all of a sudden you're going to leave. You go to Miami, you win your championship. That thing starts falling apart because they get older. And then I'm going to go back to Cleveland, be the savior again. I become the savior and then I break it down again. Please do not put LeBron James' name in the same words as Michael Jordan. Magic would have never done that. Michael would have never done that. Larry would have never done that. Kareem would have never done that. Dr. J wouldn't have never done that. And I would have never done that. I'm just saying. Out of all those names, you're going to think back to LeBron James. This is the stuff you're going to remember. Because that's all these guys have at the end of the day is legacy. This is what you're going to remember.
With so much drama on the airwaves today, Jeff.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Okay.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to talk more NBA next thing. We have our good friend from the senior NBA editor from Fans. I'm doing a lot today. I'm saying, like, I got to stop the Oz. I got to be decisive when I'm talking, Bernie. Senior Ooh. NBA editor from fansided.com.
The two fruit cups are killing you today.
I know, man. They're jacking me up. We got Ian Levy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good Saturday morning to you. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Been quite a show today, Bernie. I've gotten to, you know, feel good.
Yeah, you've been energized.
I've been energized today. Bernie Siplicki back in the big seat. It's good to have you back, Bernie.
Great
really
to be
is.
Here.
You know, we great love having Austin, but we miss you over here. Aaron, as usual, great job on the board and getting better every single week. The main man doing a great job. So we've been talking NBA.
And your love for LeBron.
And my love for LeBron. A lot of respect for LeBron. Not a lot of love for LeBron. But anyway, who better to talk to about the NBA than our good friend, senior NBA editor from Fansided, Ian Levy. He joins us right now on the TikTok Heroes guest line. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to say to you what I said to our last guest. Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you since the New Year changed. So Bernie says I can do it all the way till the end of the year, end of the month. So Happy New Year.
Yeah.
I
hope it's going great for you. So let's jump into this as quickly as we can. You know, right now, I think the NBA I thought going into the year it was starting to gain some traction. You know, the question I have for you is there concern in the NBA with all there's been a lot of fights. Do you notice there's been a lot of fights going on throughout the season? There seems to be there's been a lot of more melees this year than there has been in the past.
Yeah, it does seem like guys have been a little grumpy the past couple of weeks. Somebody threw an interesting theory at me because the season started a few weeks earlier this year. In years past, you sort of saw this, some attitudes rising, some technical fouls, things getting a little chippy maybe a week or two before the All-Star break. And because the season started 2 weeks earlier, it sort of stretched out. You know, even though the games for each team are a little bit stretched out, the season has dragged on longer. They're still practicing more. And so, you know, they still maybe have a little under a month to go to the All-Star break. But we're reaching that point where guys are tired and are sort of looking for some time off. And so maybe that's part of it.
You know, right now, Golden State seems to be the class of it, but we see Houston's hanging in there. There's a big lot. New Orleans had obviously a tough injury last night that's going to probably really figure out where they go. But do you see Golden State being the gold standard here and everybody else just trying to get near it?
Yeah, I mean, I think until somebody really shows that they can challenge them in a 7-game series, I think you have to assume that they're gonna repeat. Everything's clicking. The time Steph Curry was out, Kevin Durant was absolutely dominating, and then Curry came back and went on a run of his own that was, you know, as good as anything we've seen the past couple of years from him. So, yeah, they look fantastic. And then it's hard because some of these other teams we sort of thought might be Golden State Warriors challengers have looked a little more flawed than maybe we were expecting. The Thunder have not been as good as we were were hoping. Minnesota's been nice, but they're a little bit younger. You know, obviously the Cavaliers are sort of coming apart at the seams right now. Boston and Toronto are great, but, you know, they've got some playoff proving to do. So it really feels like Golden State and Houston's what it's going to come down to.
You know what I loved, Bernie, and you'll like this too. Did you hear what Kevin Durant did the other day? That did he get a couple technical fouls or a technical foul in a game, and he was upset about the officiating, and he was in the officials the whole game. And then when he got done, he was like, you know what? They were right. I was a jerk. He kind of owned it. It's the first athlete I've ever seen do that. It was awesome. I really like that.
Yeah. He got a lot of crap for going to Golden State and making that choice, but he does seem like a pretty self-aware guy. He owned up pretty quickly to the burner Twitter accounts, and he poked some fun at himself the other day. You know, after he chose to go to Golden State, they ran a Players Tribune article with him, you know, standing with his arms crossed, and he tweeted the same picture yesterday with a picture of LeBron on his T-shirt, you know, sort of making a joke about him being the first pick in the All-Star draft and playing for LeBron instead of Steph.
So, you know, we talk about the officiating, and it just seems like they can't get along with the players, and it seems like it's kind of, you know, hit that boiling point. And what can be done to really kind of, you know, soothe this odor so we can get back to just playing some basketball?
Supposedly the Players Association has set up a meeting between some player reps and some official reps, and they're going to sit down over All-Star Weekend, and then the league released sort of a tentative plan this week as well. I don't know. I have a hard time with it. It seems like the players' argument is like, you know, we're emotional. It's an emotional game. We need the ability to sort of like blow off a little steam. But I don't know. I don't buy the argument that it's that there should be a certain amount of them yelling at the refs that should be allowed or tolerated, especially because it doesn't serve a purpose. You know, I say they say, you know, like we want to make the argument so that the next time that call happens, you know, the refs are paying better attention or watching for something they're missed. I'm not confident that that's really what's happening. You know, Durant yells at a ref about something, and on the next play down, they're going to give Durant the benefit of the doubt on that same call. So it seems like just blowing off steam for the sake of blowing off steam. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like something that really needs to be protected or defended as a player, right?
Yeah, and I agree, because I also think it sets a real bad example too. But that's just that's a whole nother issue that's out there. As we approach, you know, the trade deadline, and what are some names you think are going to be on the move, and who do you envision trying to put and grab some more pieces to get that championship run to challenge Golden State?
I think Cleveland's obviously going to be a big player. They're sort of in a tough position. Team's playing terrible. I think they're now down to like the worst defensive mark in the league. Seems like things are not great in the locker room too. So I would imagine they're going to make some changes. I don't think it's going to be a huge trade deadline with a lot of big pieces moving, especially since so many players change teams during free agency. But there's some really interesting sort of supporting cast kinds of guys out there that could be really useful for good teams. George Hill in Sacramento. The Cavs were talking about trying to get him. He'd be a nice piece, great defender, good shooter. He could fit in on a couple different teams. He could certainly help Cleveland. He could help Oklahoma City if they were able to swing a deal. Almost everybody on Orlando is probably up for grabs. It seems like they're ready to blow it up. And Evan Fournier, Jonathan Simmons. There's a few guys there who could be useful to contenders. And then the Lakers, you know, they're trying to clear cap space. They have this idea about them landing two max contracts this summer. So Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., some of those guys are going to be on the move. And Randle especially is, I think, a really solid player, somebody who could be really useful to sort of a mid-tier team that's trying to take the leap. And, you know, if he ended up on a contending team, could also be a really useful piece.
How about, you know, just as a Celtics fan, any rumors of them, what they're trying to do, what you think they need to, again, challenge and win the East?
I haven't heard a lot around the Celtics. It's hard because, you know, probably the most likely piece to be moved would be somebody like Marcus Smart, but he's meant so much to the team this year, and now he's out injured for a couple weeks with this. It took a swipe at a picture frame and gashed his hand. I don't know. For Boston, I feel like because the team is so young and they have all of these young pieces in place who are playing so well this year, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and these guys who are stepping up, it seems to me it might be more prudent to kind of ride it out for this year and then see what you have with Gordon Hayward next season and then sort of look at making a move that's going to sort of really make you an elite championship contender. I don't think there's anything Boston adds this year that really sort of puts them in Golden State and Houston's class. Better not to lock yourself into something you regret later when you don't know what you're going to be when Hayward comes back and you're really sort of ready to take that step.
We are talking to senior NBA editor for FanSided, Ian Levy, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Ian, interesting story came out this week about legal gambling with the NBA and the NBA taking 1% of the profit on that. What's your take on that?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's a great idea for the league's perspective, at least. I think they've proven numerous times over the past couple of years that they're sort of the most forward-thinking on stuff like this of all the leagues. They've been really great about their social media policies and their media use policies, really friendly to bloggers and the media and sort of making sure that their product is everywhere that they want it to be. And so I think they see the writing on the wall. Legalized gambling is coming. Daily fantasy sports is not going away. I think this is going to become a bigger and bigger part of the sports landscape. And so they're trying to get out in front of it and say, if this is going to happen, we want to make sure that some of the revenue is coming into our pockets as well.
And I'll say this. I mean, think about that for a minute. If that does happen, you think about the outrage that there's going to be with people that end up, like, so they pick a team that's got a superstar that they decide to sit that night. Ooh, people are going to freak out.
Yeah, it definitely raises some different, some difficult issues. And I think I'm not great with all the CBA stuff, but I think that revenue would theoretically go into the basketball related income pool. And so it could lead to another big spike in the salary cap. And so it could actually change the financial dynamics of team building and all that sort of stuff.
And when you talk about the NBA season, and Bernie and I were just talking about it, some people will say, I'm not going to pay attention until halfway through the part now. You have people that are going to be engaged the whole way through. I mean, you're going to have people that are going to be interested every single night, so it's going to bring fan base in, too. So I think it's a pretty good idea. I like the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think fantasy sports is definitely drives interest in the regular season in a way that, maybe wasn't there 5-10 years ago, something like that.
Ian, you're the best, buddy. Thanks so much for taking the time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. You guys, too.
Thanks, Ian.
Ian Levy, senior editor of NBA editor for FanSided.com. And, fantasy football, listen, I'm a champion this year. So I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Oh, you want to not talk about me winning the championship? You're not into that. You didn't like no congratulations, nothing.
I mean, it was like a month ago.
No, I know. I'm just saying, okay. I still won. Yeah, I mean, champion's a champion until next year.
Right.
I'm just reminding you.
Okay.
I mean, you could give me a little something back. You're like a high five. Hey, Jeff, that was awesome. You're absolutely
congratulations.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
you're
much.
Welcome.
But again, interesting. That's pretty neat. And I think if the NBA does it, I think you're going to see a lot of other teams doing this as well. You think you'll see Major League Baseball do it. I think you'll see the NFL do it. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's...
Keeping a fan base interested throughout the season is important.
And especially, like you said, the season starts a couple weeks earlier. It's such a long...
It's a grind.
But
again, like I said this last week about our baseball talk, don't need to change anything. If you're not a big fan of the NBA, you're going to watch it when you watch it. But if you're a big fan, you're watching everything. You're watching every second. If you're a fan, that's what you're doing. Same thing with baseball. That's how I feel about baseball. Like, I love it, man. I'm all in. And tell me these games are too long. Don't give me that. Get out of my game.
Would you then say that legalized gambling would be really good for baseball?
I don't want to get down. I mean, the gambling can be an addiction for some people. But yeah, legalized gambling, I don't know. That's way over my pay scale. I don't know if it's good or not. I just love the game of baseball. I'm going to watch it. And I love my New York Yankees. And they're gonna hit a lot of home runs this year.
World Series champions.
Oh, stop it. Your passive aggressiveness is too much for me.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia wins by 7 today.
Oh, I hope so, man. That would be unbelievable. Oh, my God. What a weekend I'll have. We'll be right back.
All right. That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Another great show, Bernie. At least we thought it was, right? We had a good
Just
time.
Just ask
didn't we?
Us.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. Well, normally if you ask us, we're going to say, like, no, it wasn't good. You know, that's usually what we
say. Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Fair. Special thanks to Patricia Traina, senior editor for Inside Football for the New York Giants. Joined us to talk a little about Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman and all the new things that are happening with the Giants. Good stuff, Bernie.
Great stuff, but we really can't talk about it because all
people
the,
get mad at me. Yeah, especially my friends, they get mad at me. John Becker, UVM men's basketball coach. We're so proud of John Becker and that UVM team. Undefeated in the America East Conference, a team that I believe is just going to, like, they're going to bulldoze the rest of this season. And I'm telling you, man, they could make a run in this NCAA tournament. I believe it.
I hope you're right, man.
Always fun talking to him. And then Ian Levy, our good friend, senior NBA editor from fansided.com, always has great insight about the NBA. He's one of the best in the business. It was always fun talking to him. And the NBA, we're getting close to the trade deadline. We're getting close to the All-Star game. This is when it gets real, eh, Bernie?
Yeah, starting to pique a little more interest to the average fan, but the league has been phenomenal this year.
Keep it right here on the network, starting at 1:40. There's a show after us. I think it's Rodney Harrison. But at 1:45, my Virginia Cavaliers, the number 2 ranked Wahoo Wahs from Charlottesville, are invading Durham to take on Dookie and Bernie's Blue Devils.
I know you're going to text me and be annoying. No, I'm not even going to bring it up because it shouldn't even be a game. You're just better.
Oh, stop.
Virginia's just better.
You're so passive aggressive. See, I know you're lying. You're just better.
Well, you're better defensively. Vermont. Duke may have a little bit of a better offense, but
defense wins. Phony right now.
What do you mean I'm phony?
You're doing a complete Bon Jovi on me right now because this is nothing like if my team was really better than your team.
They are.
You would never tell me that.
Who is higher ranked team?
Virginia is.
So you're better.
Fine, but keep it right here at 1:45. You can listen to the game right here on the station. Tomorrow at 2:30, we have the NFL Pro Bowl starting at 2:30. The NFL Pro Bowl's at 2:30 tomorrow.
How come the Super Bowl can't be?
Well, they're playing the game at 2:30? Isn't that a night game? They're playing at 2:30? All right, put it on there. Or you can put it on the Zone tonight, 8 o'clock. We got Celtics at Golden State. That's a big game for
your
Celts, buddy.
That's going to be fun.
And then the NHL All-Star game is tomorrow at 3. So the NFL Pro Bowl is tomorrow at 2:30. The NHL All-Star game is tomorrow at 3:30.
See all the greatest in each sports playing.
Yeah, keep it right here. Okay, we are Sports Saturday, everybody. We're back here, and we'll be back here live next week, every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. For my boy Bernie, my buddy Aaron, and me, Jeff Paul, have a great rest of your week. We love you. Be safe. Talk to you later.